Hello and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us for the hour. I'm Amy Fuller. We're glad you're with us here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. Ahead, we have our guest, Vincent Hill of the Law and Crime Network, talking about that missing boy hoax from last week. 23-year-old tried to say it was this missing boy that's been gone for like 7 years. Was not him at all, just causing trouble, but hopefully it will bring some, refreshed eyes, some new focus on kids who are missing and this young Pittston boy who did go missing and no one's seen him in years and years. Also coming up, Dr. John Huber from Mainstream Mental Health, that's mainstreammentalhealth.org, talking about how your Facebook friends may unwittingly hurt your feelings and your intelligence, a little bit on social media with Dr. Huber ahead. And Michael Hart, the host of Heart of America and author of Unknown America, this great book with a lot of facts about, well, things that we should have learned in school and didn't, or maybe we learned it but learned it wrong. And he's going to be ahead to talk about the political headlines of the day, including some of the trending news from this day. Attorney General William Barr facing Congress for the first time since the end of the Mueller probe. And now he says that the redacted Mueller report will be available to the public within a week. He said passages will be blacked out and color-coded to indicate reasons for the redactions, such as references to grand jury testimony or damage to a person peripheral to the investigation. This all in conflict with Democrats who want the whole thing unredacted, released, which could be a big problem for national security. So Barr is saying no. And by the way, in a four-page letter to Congress last month, Barr did say that Mueller did not establish that President Trump or people associated with his campaign conspired with Russia at all. So maybe 2 years and a lot of money wasted. A loss for the Trump administration in trying to fix our crazy asylum laws that he's complained about again and again. For the second time in as many months, U.S. District Judge, one of them, of the Northern District of California, of course, blocked the Trump administration's policy, the policy of forcing Central American asylum seekers to return to Mexico while they wait for their cases to be heard in the U.S. because there's just no room for them here. Judge Richard Seaborg found that the protocols implemented late last year that Trump wanted were not authorized by Congress under the Immigration and Nationality Act and did not provide, he says, proper safeguards to meet the government's obligation not to return any alien to a territory where his or her life or freedom would be threatened, because that's what they claim when they come here. However, some other news today, hours later, reports that the White House is working on plans to make it harder for immigrants to receive asylum. They want to put more border agents in charge of their interviews and do some other things. So President Trump working on some new twists to that. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, Border Patrol officials are giving updates about the staggering number of migrants at the border. They say caravan-sized swells of migrants are arriving every week. And this is just someone testifying about the Rio Grande Valley alone. The sector chief there, Rodolfo Kadrish, spoke at a Senate Homeland Security Committee hearing today. Listen.
In my 30 years as an agent, I have never witnessed the conditions we are currently facing on the southwest border. This is not a manufactured crisis created by those of us who live and work in the border area. Border Patrol continues to apprehend record numbers of people who purposely violate U.S. immigration laws. We are taken advantage of by gaps in our legal framework, and that undermine the rule of law. Criminal organizations along the border capitalize on these issues and make tremendous profits at the expense of both migrants and the American people. RGV is responsible for securing 277 miles of border. This is a small fraction of the United States, but it accounts for 38% of all illegal immigration along the entire southwest border. To put things into perspective, last year agents in RGV made 162,000 apprehensions. We're ready at 147,000. At this pace in my sector alone, we will have more than 260,000 apprehensions by the end of the fiscal year.
Michael Hart is the host of the Heart of America show. He keeps tabs on all the political headlines of the day, and he's sort of He counters them and weighs them against, epic periods of our past, we could say, because he's got this book called Unknown America, where he sort of dissects things that we should have learned in school but didn't, or we perhaps learned incorrectly. This is a great book to have, and so great to give. I know Father's Day is coming up in several weeks, and it's just a great, we gave him to all the Father's Day people for last year. But there is a lot to talk about, Mr. Hart. Thank you for coming on. We've got border stuff. We've got measles and mumps coming back. Chatter about reparations. I mean, this again? And then the whole thing about AG Barr confirming that he is going to personally conduct a review of the Russia investigation and Mueller. So just wanted to see what your top topics are for this week and last, and what your callers have been saying. How are you, Michael?
I'm good, Amy. Thanks for having me back. You know, you mentioned the reparations thing, and that's been number one on my list the last few days, but not so much because it's a big story, because number one, it's a non-story, and number two, because it's so ripe with history. You know, we began talking about some form of reparations while Abraham Lincoln was still president of the United States, and we got calls for financial reparations as recently in the last couple, 3 decades from John Conyers from Michigan. And now the Democrats, they pull it out again, they dust it off, but they dust it off every 4 years, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And again, they've obviously not read their history books. So I have this personal prejudice towards the prism of the past, and I really do believe if you want to understand what's going on in this country, you've got to know our history. So I very purposely look for news stories that I can defend or expose through the history books. So I've been on the reparations thing, as well as the relationship between the Speaker of the House and her caucus, etc., from a historical perspective.
Okay, so go ahead. Her relationship with her caucus, go ahead. You're going on a tangent, and we'll let you.
Yeah, well, just the fact that, you know, in the past, the Speaker of the House has been, you know, the be-all, end-all. The Speaker of the House runs the show, sets forth the agenda, makes certain that everybody falls in line, caucuses properly, and she's just got a fit going on with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And I don't think people understand how unbelievably rare and unique, historically speaking, that is. Over the years, representatives in the House, sometimes they've had their dust-ups with their leadership, but at the end of the day, they always fell back in line. And it's gotten so bad. I don't know if you saw this earlier, but we've had all this immigration talk the last couple of days about open borders and Alexandria Cortez and Rashida Tlaib and people like that. Now, in the last few hours, Barack Obama and Bernie Sanders have now sort of walking back their immigration views, talking about how we shouldn't have open borders and how people coming across our borders should assimilate into our culture. Oh. Even these two left-wing wingnut whack jobs have seen that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is tantamount to a cinder block around the neck of a mafia hitman in the Hudson.
They are running for the hills. You got to say that again. You got to say it again. Mafia hitman Hudson, what? Can you get it out again?
I probably could. What I said was that she is tantamount to a cinder block and a noose around the neck of a mafia hitman in the Hudson. She is dragging this party downhill just like she was Joe Valachi. It's the darndest thing, and they are all diving for cover. I made a comment on my show today, Amy. I'm kind of warming up to Nancy Pelosi because they've moved so far left. She's like the disoriented grandmother who doesn't know where the grandkids are in the park anymore. And it's gotten almost comical to see her just flailing around out there. I want to throw her some kind of intellectual lifeline, but you know, the conservative in me won't allow me to do that. But it's looking pretty rough for old man.
She got a bit of an honor just this past weekend. They did announce she is being honored that John F. Kennedy Profiles and Courage Award.
Right.
For Pelosi, for the first time in 60 years, non-consecutive person being elected to Speaker of the House, first woman Speaker of the House, and then, you know, just this pity, because at first people thought that she was letting AOC and some of the others have a loose leash and do what they were doing. But then people are starting to say, we think she can't control them at all. What do you think, Michael?
Well, you know, a lot of people keep talking about the Green New Deal. Obviously, it's made a lot of headlines, but the reality of it is that's not an AOC policy. That's coming from an organization called the Justice Democrats and a guy by the name of Zach Exley. Pelosi and some of the others in the party are just now beginning to figure out that some of these new incoming freshmen, the freshmen that have been newly minted, that they are actually figureheads or mouthpieces for other people that are organized behind the scenes, and it's not so much a matter of coming from them. So Pelosi, all of a sudden now, she finds out she's got a real battle royale on her hands, because it's not just a matter of some, you know, whacked out bartender coming up with some crazy ideology. You know, Nancy's got a fight on her hands, and she's discovered she's got her very own swamp to deal with now.
That's true. And what did Barack Obama said something over the weekend while he was on foreign soil, dissing his own country? I'm so sick of that, no matter who the person is. He said something about the Democrats are in a circle sort of firing at each other.
A circular firing squad.
Yeah, very more eloquently than I put it. But yeah, and he's not wrong. I mean, for once, I can agree with Barack Obama.
Yeah, the Democrats, they, you know, years and years ago, the deceased governor of Georgia, Zell Miller, wrote a book called A National Party No More, referring to the Democrats. Now, this goes back, harkens back to the Clinton era, primarily after all the Monica Lewinsky stuff came out. But it's almost like the Democrats sit up every single night and they try to figure out ways to enter so much drama into their party politics to destroy themselves. It's like a drunk that, you know, gets all liquored up and starts driving down the road to the liquor store, flashing their lights at the cops because they just can't seem to get out of their own way. And every time I hear these guys, I start hearing kind of Benny Hill music in the background. You know, I don't know if that was just, you know, too many long nights in the clubs from years ago, or if it's just the Democrats' new platform. But it is absolutely stunning that they don't know who they are, they don't know who their players are, and they are disintegrating from the inside. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. As much joy as that brings me politically, we need a vibrant Democrat Party, because if we don't have one, the Republicans will go nutty to the right on us.
You know what? You're probably I honestly just need a second to dissect, to ingest everything you just said. It's just all so good. Do you ever just take a breath on your show so people can get what you're saying, and then you go on the next rant, Michael? This is so good. We love to bring you on because you say on your website, Christian conservative caffeine rants, and sometimes you throw things. Did you bring, we're heading to a break, but we're going to bring you back. Did you bring anything you can throw in later minutes?
I've got a dog around here somewhere.
No. Don't do it. Didn't someone get you a Trump pillow or a Hillary pillow or something?
Actually, that was my daughter, much to her mother's disgust.
He is the host of Heart of America, author of Unknown America. You've got to get this book. It's a treasure. And he's working on episodes or volumes 2, 3, and 4 up to 10, because so much is going on. You cannot stop. You can't make this stuff up. And we are back with Michael Hart after this. Right on track with the Benny Hill theme music. You like that, Michael? That Chris and Curtis in the control room are right on it for you, aren't they?
I absolutely love it.
You're watching America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller with Michael Hart. So glad to have you. Coming up, Vincent Hill with the Law and Crime Network, talking about some of the big cases going on around the country that he comments on and talks about on all the networks. The missing boy hoax. The trial of a former Minneapolis PO who fatally shot an unarmed woman who called 911 to report a possible rape near her home. Jury now seated for this. He's an author and on-air host, Dr. John Huber, on how your Facebook friends may be unwittingly hurting your feelings and your intelligence. But Michael Hart here now with Unknown America. Let's see, we talked about Pelosi. We talked about, you know, you've been on this college campus scandal thing, and a bunch more indictments came down today, like 16 plus Lori Loughlin and her husband. Loughlin for money laundering and some other things. So this is getting uglier, and there could be more names added to the mix, yeah?
Absolutely. And, you know, it didn't just speak to what's going on with the Hollywood elite, Amy. It also takes to the possibility that there's some kind of complicity to this between Loughlin, the Hollywood elite, and the universities themselves. And I have been all over this for the longest period of time, that people don't really understand that our universities are under assault, and we are raising a group of young people in this country, and they are being fed a complete spool of untruths. And the reality of it is much of it is being, you know, panned out by some of the parents, by the donors, by the people that are the alumni of the schools that are having an impact on what these kids are learning. But in a larger sense, they are shifting, and I'm talking about the schools, the professors, they are shifting the culture in the United States as well. So then you had the Lori Loughlins of the world come along trying to game the system. And quite frankly, I'm glad she got caught. I feel bad for the daughters. It's pretty much ruined their career. They're not going to be able to sell anywhere.
Oh, yoga they might have been complicit, though, Michael. They might.
They might have been.
I mean, if they've been going through this helicopter parenting and this is just supplementing them their whole lives, then they're used to this. So, you know, you give them the benefit of the doubt, but, you know, maybe, maybe not.
Well, I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, you know, to a degree anyway. But, you know, we haven't talked a lot about schools, talking a lot about, you know, Yale University is having a threat. Ted Cruz has threatened to have Yale investigated over their position on some Christian groups. The University of Denver, as well as Kansas and a couple other ones, newly implemented the white supremacy and why are white men angry in America. And I have to admit to you, Amy, I'm depressed. I'm going through a phase because I'm finding out that I'm really super white. I mean, I'm t-shirt white. It doesn't get more Caucasian than this, but I'm not angry. And I'm trying to figure out where the lack of anger in my world is coming from, because obviously I'm not normal because I'm not pedoed at the world around me. So I am going to enter into therapy to find out where my angry white guy is.
Your angry white guy. Okay. Keep us up on that, because I think you could help a lot of people.
I'm going to try. I'm going to get me a hashtag and I'm going for it.
So what do you think of this border crisis? The Democrats keep saying it's made up. But I mean, every day the Border Patrol, they're the ones there. These numbers are out of control. 100,000 just apprehended just in March. And that's just who's apprehended.
That's correct.
Which the latest we heard was we're only apprehending one of three who try to come through. And new testimonies on Capitol Hill today about how bad it is, Trump visiting the border. And then on top of that, the measles and mumps outbreaks that are happening, New York today declared an emergency for when it comes to measles. And they say right out, it's because of foreigners coming here that are unvaccinated and they are bringing these threats to us. There's no doubt about it.
Well, you know, in addition to the 100,000 that you just mentioned, Border Patrol people have been testifying the last several days that we now have 50, at least 50 countries represented, such as Romania, China, and a whole host of others. And I don't think people realize that this is beyond the migrant caravan argument. We have literally opened up the southern borders to people from all over this world coming in absolute droves. And you got to think about it for a second, Amy, that you're talking 100,000 people in March. That's probably roughly the size of a mid-sized American town every single month coming into this country, possibly sick, many with criminal records, and the list goes on and on. And in spite of all the chatter about the wall and immigration, it's getting worse by the day, because the word is out, bring your brats, come to America, they'll let you in the door.
I mean, I guess they're trying to do it and get in under the gun before Trump really has his way with the border, I guess. Is that what you think, Michael?
Well, you know, he was talking about closing down the border with Mexico a couple of days ago, and then he capitulates and walks it back to, you know, talking about doing it maybe a year out of Mexico can get their hands. And we've seen this with the other wall talk and the health care proposals and things of this nature. And the president, you know, somebody made a comment on my program the other day. He's got a lot of bark, but there's not a lot of bite there. And I think that he does push the envelope a bit, hoping he's going to get some kind of bipartisan support, which obviously he's not. But there is going to come a point in time where we're going to have to make a stand, because despite the fact I'm angry about the caravan and I'm concerned about Americans, you know, the people at the southern border trying to get here, you know, they are human beings. We do have to do what's best for them. We're putting them in harm's way by not having an immigration policy that they themselves can follow and apply through. We are putting them in harm's way with the notion that come one, come all, as long as you are desperate, we will let you in. And that puts a lot of people in danger, not just Americans.
Our border cities, listen, my house, 10 minutes from the border. Border cities all up and down. Michael, they're not staying there. They're going everywhere. And we don't know who they are. You know, some people do need our help. And yes, our hearts bleed for them. But we can't do everything for everybody. We wish we could. Okay, so let's go over to, you say there's a website that is targeting people who worked in the Trump administration. So it hinders their future career. What is going on with that?
The site is called Trump Admin. TrumpAdminSeparation.org. Mm-hmm. TrumpAdminSeparation.org. And what this does is they're buying newspaper ads, and they are sending letters to CEOs of major corporations imploring them to not hire anybody that worked in the Trump administration that had anything to do with immigration policy. I mean, it names border agents, Amy. Agents. And anybody that was even remotely affiliated with, you know, the caging of children and so many of the other things.
Oh, and I hope they're talking about the Barack Obama administration, too, then.
Well, the thing is, you know, the Obama administration and the Trump administration, neither one of them had policies of separation. They were byproducts of the policies, the zero policy, zero tolerance policy of the Trump administration in particular. And, you know, we put an end to that. But, you know, it's so funny. If the cops go down the street and they raid a meth house that's in a single wide trailer back in the woods and get mommy and daddy for baking a drug over in the holler, and there's a couple of barefoot snot-nosed kids there, guess what they're doing with the kids?
Separating them.
Taking them into custody.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do when a parent is arrested.
Exactly,
but now,
right.
Now you've got all these people for ICE, and they're doxing some of these people, but it's a long list. It's only up to about 25 right now, but it's growing every single day. And these immigration-based organizations threatening CEOs not to welcome these employees with open arms into your corporations so they won't have a soft landing. And they're gaining a lot of support and a lot of momentum.
Disgusting. We have to do better. Michael, we're short on time, but I do want to tell people to follow you on social media, because things we didn't get to this, but this month in 1922, April 5th to be exact, was the day that the American Birth Control League was founded by Margaret Sanger.
That's exactly right.
And you parse that out and what it meant, the forerunner of Planned Parenthood. And what did she really want to do? She wanted to call the black population in the United States of America. Look it up. So follow Michael. Follow him at Heart of America and listen to his show. Michael, we can't thank you enough for being here.
Thank you, Amy.
And hope everyone gets your book. And we'll see you next time, okay?
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks. A girl like you should never look so blue. You're everything. I'm a sucker for you. Oh, we're glad to have you along this hour for America Trends. Did you know, trending, there is a new animated version of The Addams Family coming out around Halloween. We'll have your first look coming up in just a few minutes. Also, Dr. John Huber of Mainstream Mental Health will be coming along. He is talking about, well, the mumps and measles thing and how it's making a big comeback. But also how your Facebook friends, and we know who they are, may be unwittingly hurting your feelings and your intelligence. What does he mean? We will find out. But first, private investigator and author Vincent Hill of the Law and Crime Network. You see him all around the dial all the time, and we love it when he comes on here to talk about the big cases in America. And he's also the author of Incomplete Pass and Playbook to a Murder and one more that's coming out. It'll make a trilogy. Talking about, boy, last week all eyes were on that missing boy hoax. We found out the missing kid was not little Timothy Pitson at all, but, you know, a big liar, a criminal. And then we've also got the trial of a former Minneapolis police officer who fatally shot an unarmed woman who called 911 to report a possible rape near her home. And Vincent, welcome back to America Trends. Thanks for coming on.
Amy, always a pleasure to join you. Thanks so much for having me.
You too. We're really glad to see you. You're a former PI, law enforcement, all these things. So what is going on? 12 jurors were seated Monday. Is that right so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So this case goes back to June of 2017. Mohammed Noor, who's a former Minneapolis police officer, and his partner received a call. They were dispatched to a 911 call where a female had called in a reported possible sexual assault in the alley behind her home. Now, when they arrived, of course, it was dark. It was late at night. The victim in this case, who we now know as Ms. Diamond, actually approached the patrol car. She tapped on the window, at which time, the partner of Noor thought something was going on. He said he was startled. And the next thing he knows, he hears gunshots. And of course, Noor had shot her through the window there. So there's a lot going on in this case with that.
Well, I wonder if we know anything for sure just what happened. We're going to ask Vincent in just a minute. Had a little freeze there on the Skype, but do want to tell you that you can follow him, first of all, on social media. And also, besides all he does now, Hill has served his country throughout his adult life. enlisting in the U.S. Army in 1994, was a counterintelligence specialist, and he investigated individuals, organizations, installations, which could, any of them that could be a threat to national security. And within 2 years, he was promoted to sergeant. And one key function was to gather human information. And these were just characteristics that he had and he did so well with. So after 8 years, he ended his career in the military and became part of law enforcement. And I understand we have you back, Vincent.
I'm back. I apologize for that, Amy.
It's okay. It's just, you know, it's a sign of the times. And we're glad we can have you via Skype. But sometimes things happen.
Sometimes things happen. But the trial is set to begin here in just a few weeks, Officer Knorr. Now, of course, he's charged with second-degree murder, and the prosecution is saying he acted recklessly. Of course, this will come down to, and I've done that job of policing, you have split second to make decisions. I think it will come down to his partner's testimony, quite honestly, because his partner did say he was in fear of his life. He was startled by what was going on. Oh. They were in an alley, and someone approached the vehicle. A lot of people have said, well, if it was a 911 call, chances are that could be the caller. Yes, you could argue that, but yes, you could also argue that police are ambushed across this country any given day. So I'll be curious to see how this trial goes along. I'll be curious to see if Knorr himself takes the stand, because he has yet to talk to investigators regarding the shooting. And again, this happened in June of 2017, and he has yet to give a statement to investigators, only to his attorney.
You know, it always does make you pause, because you really never know what is in their mindset. You never know. You do, but lay people like me, we don't know what goes on in someone's mind in that split second. And as you say, his partner's testimony. And it does always make you think, even when someone gets pulled over, you think about things like, keep your hands on the wheel. Don't reach for anything until you say, I'm going to reach for my license and registration now. Is that okay? Things like that. Do you have any tips you can tell people for when they approach law enforcement that could maybe help down the line for anybody?
Well, you know, I would say the one thing I always say on my podcast, Beyond the Badge, is compliance. You know, a lot of times we see these videos on social media and people are saying, oh, wow, look at the excessive use of force, or look what they're doing to this individual. But police don't jump out of the car and start randomly beating people, right? So the one thing is compliance. So if I pull you over and say, sir or ma'am, may I see your driver's license? Don't give me any back talk. Don't, you know, say, oh, it's my right not to give it to you. Actually, it's my right to ask for it while I'm doing this traffic stop. So I would say compliance as well. And like you said, also identify to the police officer, hey, I'm about to reach for my driver's license. My wallet is in the glove compartment, so I'm going to reach for that right now. So, you know, compliance, don't make any sudden movements, because police, they just don't like that. And, you know, a lot of people give police a bad rap, but there's nothing routine about policing, especially traffic stops. I've seen those go from zero to deadly in 30 seconds, and I mean deadly for police officers. So anything can happen in policing.
You can watch Cops and Live PD, and when you watch something like Live PD, you feel like, does every single person out on the road actually have some sort of crime they're committing right now? But you have to first and foremost give the officer respect, because they face that stuff every day, every minute on their patrol, and they just don't know what they're getting into.
That's right. You never know what you're getting into. There's nothing routine about policing. And of course, the most dangerous thing a police officer can be in next to a domestic dispute is a traffic stop. And simply because you may know the make and model of the car you're stopping, you may even believe you know who it's registered to, because most police officers run the tag before they approach the car. But that's no guarantee that Vincent Hill is inside Vincent Hill's car at that exact moment. That person driving that car may have just killed someone, and they think you know about it, or they may have drugs, they may have guns. There may be something that they're trying to hide from police. So that is the most dangerous situation at any time for a police officer, even at 10 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night. It doesn't matter. I've seen it all. I've seen traffic stops go bad at 10 o'clock in the morning, just as they've gone bad at 10 o'clock at night.
There are always sundry unknowns. About a minute and a half, but did want to mention that big story from last week. We were so hopeful. This missing boy, this Timothy Pitson that went missing in 2011. I think he was from Illinois, and this young man who came across a bridge in Kentucky said he fled over a bridge into Ohio, and he approached someone and he said, I'm Timothy Pitson. I've been held by two men in a hotel or a motel. Please help me. And it wasn't at all. It was a 23-year-old known criminal who's done this before. And yeah, it's just sad all around. DNA proved it wasn't the little boy no one's seen the little boy in all these years, but we do hope it sort of brings eyes to maybe Pitson and other little kids who are missing.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a very interesting case because he went missing in the custody of his mother, his biological mother. First, I want to say that that individual that claimed to be Pitson shouldn't get the Jussie Smollett justice here for filing a false police report. He should get charged to the fullest extent of the law because he gave that family false hope. But what I will say is this case is very interesting because he was last seen with his mother back in 2011. They went on this three-day road trip. Then she's found in a hotel from an apparent suicide. Her cell phone is found on the side of the road miles away, which we can assume she did because no one killed her at that point because she had slit her wrist. And there was blood actually found in her SUV that tied back to her son. And it's very troubling that in the letter she wrote to her mom, he'll never be found again. You'll never find him. So we have to really start looking at, is Timothy actually still with us? That's something investigators need to come to grips with.
Yeah, and the grandma was still alive, and she was the one that said, you know, we're hopeful, but we just don't know. So again, that guy in big trouble. And, you know, Vincent Hill, thank you for everything you do and keeping track of all this for us. And author of Playbook to a Murder, and we can find you on at Vincent Hill TV on Twitter. Thanks so much. So eager to talk about the issue of measles and mumps and vaccinations with our friend of the show, Dr. John Huber of Mainstream Mental Health. This is, you know, the vaccination controversy going on for decades, and seems like both sides have, you know, valid arguments. But now with so many migrants coming here and mumps and measles being presented as a normal thing, and today New York declaring that measles is an emergency in our state. This is big. So we're going to talk to Dr. Huber in a minute. How you doing, Doc?
I am amazing. How are you today?
Great. We're going to get to that. But also, you've got this interesting study about Facebook, which, you know, so many of us partake in these social media sites, and they do all kinds of things. They upset us because of politics. Good things. They keep us up to date with family and friends, but they also can make us feel left out. And I'm not just talking about fourth graders. I'm talking about adults. And the headline is your Facebook friends may be unwittingly hurting your feelings and your intelligence.
Absolutely. You know, what happens is when you fall into this mechanism of responding emotionally, you get your feelings hurt. Your brain actually kind of goes into its own fight or flight mechanism, and it redirects blood flow from your frontal lobe, where we think more rationally, and directs it to our older parts of our brain, the limbic system, where all our emotions are. And it actually makes your brain stop thinking critically, and it doesn't think efficiently. So all of a sudden, and we've actually, University of Buffalo just came out with a study where they tested it, and they actually found a drop in people's IQ scores when they're doing that. So, you know, it's really important to stay on top of what's going on. If you start getting involved in something emotionally, you know, step back, step away from it, because especially if you're going to be going in and, you know, doing open heart surgery or even just coding or something on a computer program that you're working on, you might not want to get all emotional.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to try to remember, dude, because you and I get so animated talking about it. I'm going to try to remember to ask you how much social media is too much. But first, I want to say, is this sort of the old thing where, you know, years ago, I think it's about 10 or 11 years where a lot of people really just joined Facebook. 08 was about the time where it just seemed like everybody was there. Before that, someone could have a party and we didn't really know about it. We didn't know if we were excluded. But now, you know, these things don't happen unless there are pictures and unless they're posted on Facebook, so everybody knows everything. Is that the big thing, that we're feeling left out just because we see that sort of evidence? And is that what sort of this is talking about?
Well, absolutely. We start feeling like the whole rest of the world is having this great life and we're stuck at work because we couldn't get off to go to the party. And what happens is we internalize that and it becomes an emotional response. And, you know, we react to that and we have consequences with that emotionally and now we know cognitively.
So we're reacting to it emotionally and it's therefore making us, you know, sort of reject the use of our intellectual brain, I guess you could say, and we're responding with our emotions. And I don't know, maybe they get on there and post things like, there are all kinds of passive aggressive ways you can react on Facebook.
Absolutely. And your friends know you better than anybody else, so they know how to push your buttons, too, if they want to. The other side of that is University of Texas about 2 years ago did an amazing study where they had students taking equivalent tests, and they had one group of students just have their phone out, And then they had the other group come in, and they had to leave their phones in another room. And the group that left their phones in the other room scored higher on the test. And so they repeated this, and they had the ones who'd done the study with the phone in their room take the equivalent test with their phones in the other room, and they scored higher. So what we know is your brain is like a path of least resistance, like water. It wants to save energy. So if it knows that all you have to do is go Google something, it's actually going to shut down parts of your brain so you don't have to think and process that information.
Wow. You know, it just makes me want to ask, because this is where my brain goes when it comes to hurt feelings. I'm an adult, you know, adults can handle things better. But as a child, because these things happen, you think a girl's fourth, fifth, sixth grade, whatever. And how do you protect your children from having that left out feeling when things do get posted there and they're left out and they don't really have the cognitive ability, that maturity, and the brain is not formed yet, as you and I have talked about many times, to deal with these emotions? It's a really hard thing.
It is a hard thing. And what I recommend that my parents of my kids that I work with do is that they get their kids involved in social activities that preclude the use of social media. You know,
no,
things
real life
like
stuff.
like basketball, like soccer, or like Girl Scouts. You know, get them out there and get them physically doing things. And mom, dad, get up in the morning on Saturday and take them to the park. Get up and take them out camping. Take them fishing. Get them involved and be there with them and be that perfect role model for them. And it's amazing how much they benefit from that. And like you said, you know, 2008, this happened. Well, what happened before that? 2007 was the first year that smartphones hit the world market, and people had access to social media 24/7. It wasn't just when you logged into your computer.
Oh, sure. So we're not just on Facebook. We've got it no matter where you're right. And then the phone chimes and there we are. So can you chime in just for a child and maybe an adult too? I don't know if it's two different things. How much is too much social media? When should we try to like weigh it back a little bit?
Well, anytime that it starts affecting how you function, it's too much. But what we do know is the CDC studies show that at 2 hours, we start behaving as if we're depressed. Oh. And that becomes a problem for a lot of us, because that behavior is the marquee that tells us that, you know, you are becoming depressed before the person even realizes that. Mm-hmm. So the CDC says 2 hours or more is causal for depression. I think a child before high school should not spend more than about an hour a day. I know in our clinic, when we have our patients go through our ketamine treatment regime, we don't let them have more than an hour a day of social media and internet at all, period, during their 30-day stay.
Oh, wow, interesting. Okay, about a minute, but I just did want to ask you to weigh on, even briefly, this whole thing about mumps and measles coming back. You're a doc. You're in the midst of this. What are you hearing? How concerned should we be? I heard last week New York said we have 11 cases of mumps. We know they're from foreigners. And then today the state of New York said we've actually got an emergency when it comes to measles.
Well, they're very serious diseases. I mean, look at me. I suffered from mumps when I was a kid, you know.
Really?
And look at me. But we know 285 cases right now are active with measles. Over 50 are hospitalized. We know 5 are in ICU. And it's because of this fear of vaccinations and the fact that just a few years ago, we were measle-free in this country. And what's happened is immigration has come through and people are sidestepping the immigration laws they're getting in. And it's a sad thing. But we need to get back to being immunized, and we need to protect our kids. If you're worried about things like the preservatives in the vaccines, you can always ask your physician for preservative-free vaccines. They cost a little more. Your insurance may not pay the full amount, but it's worth it if you're concerned with your child about those things.
Yeah, and again, I'm not against the anti-vaxxers. They have some good points, but we may be in a new time. Did you say 285 cases nationwide of measles?
No, in New York.
And just in New York?
Yes.
I'll be darned. Okay, Dr. John Huber, mainstreammentalhealth.org. It's a nonprofit. If you can go there and help him or learn anything, check him out there. We'll see you next time, Doc.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
understand you really want the tagalong, but it's got chocolate in it. It's got chocolate in it. I'll bring you something that you could have, but that's got chocolate in it.
We thank you for being with us here on America Trends on the U2 America TV Network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. Please see us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, what's the other one? Twitter, of course. And then also our website, U2America.com, and the Biz Talk Radio website. And we thank our guest for this hour, Dr. John Huber of Mainstream Mental Health, and Vincent Hill of the Law and Crime Network, and Michael Hart of Heart of America, the author of Unknown America. You got to check out his book. Facts that we should have learned in school that we didn't, or that we learned absolutely incorrectly. And he's here to fix that all. And he's working on his second, third, and fourth editions. And he talked about the political headlines of the day. So we thank him so much for that. Hey, finally tonight, get ready to snap your fingers. If you're a fan of the Addams Family, it's coming back. And for the first time ever in an animated version, just in time for Halloween. It stars Chloe Grace Moretz, you remember her, young lady, Charlize Theron, Bette Midler, and Allison Janney, and a few more you might recognize. And we've got your first look as we say goodbye for now from all of us here at America Trends.
This is an average American family. And so is this. And so are these. Every family is different. But some families are more different than others.
Get out!
It's hideous.
It's horrible.
It's home.
Is that really as tight as you can make it? Well.
Hello.
Wednesday, what do you have there?
I'm not sure.
Strange. There's usually a murderous clown attached to the other end of these. Come now, Gomez. Don't forget to kick your father goodnight.
Yes, Mother.
Boxley, blow F6!
Fire in the hole!
You sunk my battleship!
Well done, Pugsley!
How I wish something would liven up this already tedious day. Thanks for trying, Ichabod.